afternoon, and welcome to the Gardening Network, brought to you by Little Crop Circles, where you can grow more in small spaces. You can find them at littlecropcircles.com. The show is hosted by Siobhan Shaw, hailing from beautiful Canada, Donna Butler from fertile Louisiana, and me, Lisa Sellers-Roberts from warm and bright Central Texas. Welcome to the show, and thank you for attaching yourself to the Gardening Network Vine. We're glad to have you. Today, we were going to talk to the wonderful Carla Jenkins from the Texas Farmers Market. Something last minute came up, and she will not be able to join us this afternoon. So it will be Siobhan and Donna and myself talking about Farmers Market. Hello, Siobhan. How are you doing today?
Lisa, good to hear your voice. Thanks for the great intro. And yeah, we're gonna be talking about why we need to support local farm markets and so many other aspects of it. And right now, it's just you and I. So as soon as we see Donna's beautiful face show up,
okay,
or her ears or whatever you do on the phone, it's so different for us because Donna and I do another show called The Attitude Shift, and we actually, you know, see each other because we do it on Google Plus. So it's different to be back on Blog Talk Radio,
which is nice. Good to hear your voice too. How's the weather been in Canada? Is it nice for growing?
It's great growing weather. We are on our second planting of lettuce now. The broccoli grew really fast, and then the heat came. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of vegetables that actually bolt and flower and are done when the heat comes. And we've just put our air conditioning on last night because it is steamy hot. We live in a desert region and the high desert region. So, you know, we often have, 90 to 100 degree weather in the summer.
Wow. But the plants love it, right? As long as they're getting the water.
That's right. There's lots and lots of water. John is actually watering a tremendous amount right now because it's so hot. And, you know, even just the pansy flowers, you know, we have pansies in a little crop circle growing, and they were happy, happy, happy. And then when the heat comes, you can see that they're just thirsty. They're just, you know, you're having to increase the automated watering system so that, you know, they're getting watered 3 times a day or 2 times a day as opposed to maybe the once a day.
That's what's so nice about that system, that automated watering system. That is nice. Go ahead.
No, you tell me.
Well, you were telling me that you work in a farmer's market situation, and I did not know that. Tell me a little bit about that.
I do. I love that. You know, I grew up on a farm, so I'm always connected to the land and to farming and growing. And you know, we used to have, it seems like acres of vegetable gardens when I was growing up, but I'm sure it was maybe half an acre. I don't actually know.
Yes.
You know, when you're a kid, everything seems so big.
Large.
And you know, of course, my Nana and my mom and my dad, they all taught me how to grow food to sustain our family. We had a big family and lots of people working that would, you know, we'd have something like 16 people at the dinner table at night. You know, there was a lot of different people, and so there was a lot of food that needed to go in and out of that kitchen, that farm kitchen. And so I love that. And I had an opportunity to have friends who own orchards here, and they're very old, sort of established families. They've been here since the 1900s, you know, several generations of orchardists. And they wanted to start their own fruit stall, basically, or a farm market, right on their property. So I was like, I'm in. Whatever you need, I'll come and help, because it just got me out, and it just gets me back out into sort of that situation where there's people around, you know. Where John and I do our stuff in our, you know, backyard with the pots, little crop circles. It's not the same as having, you know, lots of people around and coming and going. So I really enjoy my time that I spend at the fruit stall, the farm market, and it's quite fun because every day is something different, and there's tons of great people that come, and they're so supportive. And that's
they
the thing,
are.
One of the things we want to talk about today is, why do you need to support your farmer's market?
I agree. I know that I go to farmer's markets here, and I have elderly clients that love fresh food, and they want to stay as healthy as possible in their older ages. And the farmer's markets that are in our area are fantastic. You can go when you buy something, say peaches, because they're coming out in our area right now. You can even ask the farmers questions about their soil. What do they do with this problem and that problem and this pest? And they're very helpful. Not only do they want you to buy their product and love it, but they're very helpful to the individual that may be growing something on a smaller scale, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the whole thing, is that you know where your food's coming from.
Yes, you do. Right. And a lot of when they ask questions when farmers markets, when a vendor wants to apply, and they ask them, are you organic? They really do not want anything but organically grown fruits and vegetables in their markets. And that's good.
Why is organic such a big thing? You know, I obviously, as I said earlier, I grew up on a farm. Everything obviously was organic when I was growing up, even the meat, you know, because we raised cattle and just about everything else, chickens and ducks and geese and everything. So a lot of the meat that we ate was obviously not shot up with hormones or antibiotics or anything like that, because it was there. Like, it was, you know, growing right there. It's grown right here.
I think over the years they've seen the scientists have proven that pesticides, insecticides are very harmful, and they stay in the pores of the food, and it is more harmful than helpful. And when they grow organic, they're very careful about not using all of that and using more natural ways to keep pests and to keep the foods growing.
Do you know of some ways to keep pests off? I know we've had a show on pests, but is there something that, you know, I've heard of garlic and water.
Yes.
Sometimes things like that will keep pests away.
A lot of people are talking about just using orange peel, lemon peels. Certain plants can tolerate vinegar in the soil to keep these pests away. I know Dawn dishwashing liquid, if you use it very limited, of course. you can keep certain mites and mealy bug and spider mites off of your plants. And
Donna Butler, did you hear that? Welcome.
Hi, Donna.
On board.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm good. I was with my dad looking at his hibiscus. I pulled up to run in for the show, and you know me, something's always going to happen. I fell as I was running up the stairs, and here I am.
Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Right.
So tell us about your papa. He's grown hibiscus. Is he a great hibiscus grower?
That is his favorite flower. And
I
put some pictures up of him out in the yard today, putting his hibiscus in. And I was the dutiful daughter, always trying to learn something, show a little of my expertise. None. So, yes, I'm here and ready to go. A little dirty, little grimy. We're in the garden, so what the heck?
Did I hear you say you brought us some onions?
No.
No? I thought you said you brought hibiscus and onions along.
No, I said I brought hibiscus, and I probably got my mouth all mixed up. I'm peeling out leaves out of my mouth, okay? So I'm talking to you guys, okay? All right. Okay.
I'm glad you're okay.
I'm great. I am. I really am good. Okay.
So what we were talking, our guest wasn't able to make it today from the Texas Farmers Market, but what Lisa and I were talking about was why we want to support farmers markets. And so we were talking about organic food and growing organically. And so when you popped on, we were talking about ways to keep, of course, pests away from your fruit and vegetables and stuff like that. So that's where we were at. And that's, of course,
your
favorite thing is pests.
Whatever you do, yeah, exactly. Whatever you do, as Lisa knows from last week, don't pour gasoline on the ant pile. Don't light it and watch the rest of your garden go up in flames. So let's don't do that to get rid of the pests. We can just keep Donna out of the garden at certain times of the day when they're out. So,
I forgot about that, Donna. That's right. She exploded her garden trying to get these ants out of her garden with some gasoline.
I have the black spot remind me, and my husband reminds me, and the neighborhood. But that's okay because I planted new. I can't wait for you guys to see what I'm doing. I actually am doing something, and so when it looks a little better, I'll be able to show you. But right now, I would be embarrassed beyond measure to show you all what I'm doing.
We're just excited that you're excited about becoming a gardener. I think that's really cool.
Me too.
I'm so excited. I want you ladies to. That's why I slid into first base up the stairs to get on the show because I am excited because
I want
to show people.
I have to ask you guys: have you ever brought home potatoes or onions from a store, and the potatoes rotten, and the onions attract flies?
Like absolutely.
Fruit, right? Because the food is old, right? It's coming from.
Yes.
God knows where it's coming from. It's not local. It's being trucked in, and it's rotten, basically. You know, I cut into some potatoes for mashed potatoes the other night, and yes, I understand it's the end of the, you know, you're eating sort of storage potatoes now because the new stuff isn't up, and I get that. But it was so bad, I had to pretty much throw the whole 10-pound bag of potatoes out because it was just rotten inside. It was awful. It was like, no mashed potatoes for you tonight. Like, it was not happening.
And you had your mouth to set for it. And everyone knows that locally grown produce, the nutritional content and the peak, it's at its peak with the flavor. So that's nice.
That is. And I can tell you, Siobhan, you know, it's really weird because living here in the South, it's really humid. It's really hot. I bought a 5-pound bag of potatoes, red potatoes, because I was going to make my old-fashioned potato salad.
Mm.
And I didn't do it the first day, but guess what? 4 days later, in my bin, my potato bin, they had already started rotting. They had already started. The ones on the bottom. And I put the bag that they came in, you know, the red net bag? You know, I just dropped that into the bin. But they had already started at the bottom of it. It had a smell to it already. And I did not have those there that long. And so it goes hand in hand with what you said about it's already old when it's shipped. We don't know how long it's been on a truck. We don't know when they've been picked. We can guess, you know, but it made a big difference. And when I discovered the farmer's market, the mobile farmer's market that I talked about a few weeks ago, I discovered that. And, oh, my gosh, the potatoes were amazing. They were amazing.
Because they're picking the night before the farmer's market or very early in the morning before they go. I have friends that have a small farm. They just bought it a few years ago, and they go to the farmer's market. They sell their produce at the farmer's market. And I went to visit once, and they have, like, a big cold storage area. They have a big prep area, and they bring their stuff in, and of course, they bag it and everything for people. So there's a whole process that goes along, but it's being done the night before or early in the morning.
Well, I can tell you the difference. They were firm. The potatoes were firm. And I'm learning this, so this is all great to me. I'm learning this. They were hard. They were firm when I cut them. They didn't, like you said, mashed potatoes almost. And these are after being a week in a bin. You know, in my home, which, it gets hot. It's hot here. But to already have things growing out of it, that was crazy to me.
But they were older.
I love the farmer's market. I love it. And for me to go outside in the heat and find out where the mobile farmer's market is, that's a big thing. But my family liked the, they could tell the difference. Ivy could tell the difference with the potato salad. He thought I'd try something new.
And when
and
you say,
like, go ahead.
Well, when you say mobile farmers market, are you meaning they just kind of like set up in a parking lot or something like
yes.
that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They go from place to place. And
yes.
I love it because it does, you know, and I'm just going to be real and honest because that's what we do. Because sometimes in certain areas in Baton Rouge and in every area, there's, you know, people that don't get to the store to get the fresh veggies.
That's right.
I'm going to be honest. They don't. They would rather go to Burger King. And they'd rather do that. And they, there are things that, you know, they're not educated. People aren't educated on some of this. And this is why I'm so passionate about it. And they would rather go and get the things in the store, you know, the, that's been sprayed on, that all this stuff is done to, because it's convenient. So I think it's a great idea what they did in Baton Rouge, that they go from, they go to different recreation centers, which they know kids are there on the week, you know, during the week school's out. Their parents, and they go and they set up. They have grapes. They have everything. And they set up, and they do that for the entire summer. They will go from place to place, and they will continue to make the same rounds back in. And you know what? It works. It works.
Before you came on, Donna, I was telling Siobhan that we have the same thing with elderly communities because
yes.
they can't get out. Not a lot of them just cannot get to the store. So they have helpers such as us that go and get the produce and bring it back to them. And they love that. It brings them
yes.
back to their childhood memories.
That's exactly right. And it does. And I think that that's one thing that we're that hopefully we'll be able to do with our show and with Little Crop Circles and everything else we're doing is to also educate people, you know, that
yes.
fresh is better. You know, grow your own, because we're so caught up in the quick and the simplistic ways of doing things. You know, get a can of corn off the shelf and open it, pour it in the pot. You know, get the tomatoes from the store that look like plastic and bring them home and cut them up.
Taste like it, yeah.
Right, and taste like it. So how cool if we all just kind of, even just planted one thing to see it grow. I think you take so much appreciation out of growing something for yourself. And it tastes better, and it looks better, and heck, it's better for you.
And you know, I think at farmers markets, there's a great energy there because often they have music, and there's all kinds of people from your community. These aren't, you know, this is your village, right?
Well, and they also have fresher items besides fruits and vegetables. They have
yes.
raw milk, and they have
right,
cheeses
eggs.
From the goats in the area, free-range eggs, unfiltered
right.
honey.
Pie.
All kinds of foods. Yes, pie. Did
yes.
you say pie?
Pie. Fudge. Popcorn. You know where I'm going
right
with
there.
That.
Yes, I know where you're going.
I'm there.
I love it. Yummy thing.
I like your farmer's market.
Do you like my farmer's market? Yeah, I know.
I do very much.
Pie, cake, cookies.
Beignets.
And what's
it's
cool
like
about
farmers...
Beignets, they do baking there. They will have baking. There's bread. There's often great bread stands there where they've just made fresh bread. I mean, this is not
whatever you can
I don't know, Wonder Bread. It's not Wonder Bread. You might wonder where it comes from.
That's right.
Yeah, well, you don't want to know. And just ask yourself, how does bread stay fresh that long, you know? How does bread? And I start asking myself those questions. You know,
the preservatives they put in it.
Well, exactly. So for me, this has been an experience, and it's, you know, I'm just starting, and I actually go out there, and I'm trying, and I'm thinking at the end of the week be able to show everybody what I'm doing. Besides, my neighbors looking at me like I'm like crazy.
If you just have attached yourself to the Gardening Network Vine this afternoon, Donna and Siobhan and Lisa are talking about supporting our local farmers and growers through farmers markets. And Donna is talking about all the new things that she has put in her garden, and her neighbor's thinking that she's crazy at this moment. So we're excited about seeing your photos, too. And the show is brought to you by Little Crop Circles at littlecropcircles.com. So I want to see your pictures, Donna.
I'm going to get some up for you guys.
Absolutely.
I have a fascinating picture. speaking of hibiscus.
And you'll see them on our Twitter page, the Gardening Network.
Yeah.
Well, you have to kind of, you'll go to our website, thegardeningnetwork.com, and you'll find the Twitter page and the Facebook page. So make sure you go there and join those. And, you know, food security is a huge issue for people. You know,
yes,
you hear about, some crazy things that happen to food. So that's another reason to support your local farmers market, is because you know it's come from the farm down the street. You get to look eye to eye with the person who's picked it or grown it, right? It's not, I don't know what happened to it. You know, there's no room for that. There's no room for, you know, that came from Chile or something, you know, Mexico,
It
came from another state on the other side of the country. You know, you get to talk to the person producing your food.
And you're supporting them.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. You're supporting your community. You know, and I'm up for stores, okay. You know, I go to stores and buy things. But, you know, when I stop to think at it and, you know, think about it, you're looking at those chain of food stores. You know, I'm not going to mention any chains, but they know who they are. You know, they come in and, you know, their things are set up for the eye. I'm going to be honest. It's set up for the eye. You know, they have the sprinklers that come on at the right time in one of the little stores where I live. I don't want to say their name. And, and everything looks really pretty in there, almost too pretty. Well, it's a big difference. And I'm going to say, I happen to like what I saw when I went to the farmer's market. I happen to like to see that there's still some dirt on my potatoes. I like to see that there's still the rustic look with carrots, that they're not all manicured and don't even look like carrots, look like little pieces of plastic. You know, I like that. I really found that to be more fascinating than anything. It brought, like you said, childhood memories. And to see the cabbage like that, you know, not
like
in
the pricing.
Yeah,
like
I think that knocked me out,
You bypass that middleman, and the pricing is good, too.
Well, that's the other thing. It's an important source of income for the farmers and all the people that are associated with the farmers that you know, do things locally for the farmers, you know, like the local nurseries that grow the plants, and, you know, and the seed companies and the manure guys and the guys that deliver your soil all those things that you need for farming and gardening. And it's a boon to the economy when you're outsourcing it.
It
doesn't help your local community. It doesn't help your local economy. And you know, that's going to funnel down to your bank account and your pocketbook.
That's right. I agree. One of the things that I love the best about them, as well as some of them will have in this area, probably in y'all's too, the educational factor, where the parents bring their children and their children start talking to the farmers and asking them questions. And sometimes they'll bring little goats that, you know, the goats that are producing milk, the nannies.
They'll
bring cows for the children to pet and see. And the kids get to ask them questions. How is this grown? How do you do this? And that's a good thing for our children to be seeing this firsthand.
Well, my kids are getting that's what we're doing this summer. Is, you know, my son left today for camp, and he's a scout. And part of that is I looked through his scout book, and guess what? Some things have to do with, you know, being in the dirt and knowing about things and planting and growing. So we're excited about that, because they should be involved. They really should be involved in it, you know, and it's something good for the family. I'd rather take my family, and I'm going to say this. I'm probably going to hit myself because I can't believe I'm about to say this. But I would rather have my family on the outing like we went to the farmer's market, out there in the heat and the sun and talking to other people and everything else in the community, versus going into the local store in the air condition, pushing around and saying hi to the same people, neighbors and stuff.
I agree.
And I liked it. And that's crazy for me. I can't believe I said that.
Well, and you have a whole host of little ones that you're dragging around.
Yeah,
summer,
sure do.
Right? All your grandchildren.
So, yeah, I mean, that was more of an adventure to them, you know, a field trip. So you'll see lots more of that, too.
So what can we do to strengthen farmers markets in the communities? What can people that are listening, and you and I, and Well, you and I and Donna, you and I and Lisa. What can you guys
I think
do?
Besides going and being a patron there, I think that if they are small farmers and they have produce that they just and is organically grown, they can call their Chamber of Commerce and get the numbers to the farmers markets that are in the area and ask, how do we become a vendor and set up shop?
And you can always Google, you can always Google Farmers Markets Associations, because I Googled that, and you wouldn't believe that everywhere is a Farmers Market Association. I saw one for Australia and Canada and the United States and different regions, you know, not just countries. So, you know, every region has a local Farmers Market Association, it seems, which is cool. So then you'll find out where your local Farmers Market is or how to build one in your community if there isn't one. I also think that you can take your neighbor if she's never gone or he's never gone.
Yes.
Say, you know what? Instead of garage sailing today, let's go to the farmer's market this morning.
That's what we did. That's what we did.
You see a lot
everybody
of artists.
Everybody kind of looks at me like, what?
You know, the farmers are artists in a way. You know, they're very artistic and creative in what they do. And the systems they put in place, and they're disciplined, just like artists and dancers and singers. They're very disciplined at what they do, and it's good to be around that. It's a good feeling. I agree.
Like that.
Yeah, Donna, do you have any final questions? Because of course we have our resident horticulturalist in with us, Lisa Sellers Roberts, and I work at a farmer's market a few days a week in the summer sometimes.
Only question, no, I don't think I have any questions. Everything's kind of, there's nothing popping up right now because I replanted everything, so I can't even ask that.
After the fire.
After the fire. Just say, will we all be back next week? I mean, is that a question? We all coming back next week to the garden?
We're coming back to the garden.
Okay, cool. All right, that's the only question I have. I'm still picking grass out my hair, okay?
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is our comedy relief, Donna M. Butler. For the reason she's on the show.
And what I'd have to say, Siobhan, is just get out there and support your local farmers market. Call the chamber in the community and find out where they're located. They're located all over your cities. And get out there on Friday and Saturday and Sunday is when they usually set up in the morning time. They have all kinds of nice things for the families to be involved in. And start asking questions and eat the good stuff. Eat the live stuff.
I like that. Hashtag eat the good stuff.
Well, and also, you know, I was thinking about that. We touched on it a little bit, is it's not just the farmers that are there. There's crafters there. So you may want to get your own booth if you're a crafty person. I've seen photography displays where people have beautiful photography of, you know, nature, birds, plants, flowers, and they sell it right there, postcards and frame pictures, jams and jellies, so people that make quilts. I mean, wine. I have seen wine at farmers markets. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. The vineyards, yes.
The vineyards.
And the different vinegars, because there's all kinds of great vinegars out there. So, and
good.
I actually I saw lavender salt one day, and so I actually looked it up to see how to make it. It's very easy. You take your lavender, you dry it for a few weeks, and then you grind it with sea salt. Just throw it in your, you know, salt grinder and grind it, and you've got this great flavor to add to caramel chocolate. Meat, seafood, whatever you can think of. You got to try it. It's actually really cool. Yeah. So we want to say to the Texas Farmers Market, Carla Jenkins, we missed you today, but we hope that we can, you know, perhaps talk to you, you know, a few months down the road and see how harvest is coming along. And make sure to go to us, thegardeningnetwork.com, and this is sponsored by littlecropcircles.com. Thank you very much, Lisa Sellers-Roberts and Donna M. Butler. It's time to go.
Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye. Get out the garden now.